2016 Verizon Vikings training camp continues in Mankato for the 51st consecutive year, and a man who's covered several of those training camps here in Mankato is our friend Tom Pelissero of USA Today Sports on a training camp tour, and here you are, home sweet home Mankato again.
Fifth camp in 5 days. I dressed up for the occasion. Great, wear a white T-shirt when it starts pouring rain during the early stages of practice, but always nice to be here.
Well, that's why we're in the VIP tent. We're covered and we're safe and we're elevated. We got a great view on what's going on behind us, and it's been a spirited day here at training camp. I know you were down there watching the goal line period and all the action.
Yeah, I mean, this is my fifth training camp in 5 days, but everywhere else I was, they were still in that early stage of camp where you can't wear pads. To come out here, that was live goal line down there. I mean, that was real tackle to the ground. Matt Asiata and Emmanuel Lemoore getting into it a couple of times there. A little bit of shoving, it's real football or something close to it.
And you always want the fine line between heated and physical, but you want to take care of each other, and it looks like the guys are doing a good job of that. Now, a luminary like yourself comes to camp. You get to talk to all the big timers, so I'm sure you've had some time with Spielman and Zimmer and all the guys, but I know you talked to Teddy. So what'd you guys talk about?
I think we talked about just kind of his general development here, and something that Mike Zimmer said to me this morning about he's really pushing this aggressive mindset. And there's a balance there. You know, nobody wants to say that it's, well, you're going to have to make more mistakes to make more plays, but that is kind of the deal. All right, if you really truly, as Rick Spielman said once, cut it loose, that means you probably are going to have more turnovers. Teddy, so far, you know, it's a real short reel that he has of his interceptions. They can live with a lot of them because it's good plays by the opponents. They don't want him throwing left-handed interceptions. They'd rather not see that again, but by and large, he's limited his mistakes. As time goes on here and he takes more ownership in the offense, what they want to see him do is be able to make some more of those plays downfield. They don't have any problems with his arm strength. They think that he can throw a deep ball. You're always going to be working on getting the rhythm and timing and tempo that's so crucial to NFL offenses, but I know this. The opinion outside the building versus the opinion inside the building are a lot different on Teddy Bridgewater. Some things that have been pinned on him in terms of mistakes on the field weren't necessarily his fault. He's not a perfect quarterback by any stretch, but they like the guy. This is the guy that they want in the building.
Yeah, another step in the progression for Teddy and Norv Turner's offense going into that third season, probably going to be a big one for him. And you mentioned not turning the ball over is a big thing in this league, and Teddy doesn't do that, so that's great. Defensively, you like to turn the ball over. You've covered the league for a while. You've covered Mike Zimmer for a while. What do you think about Mike Zimmer's defense here in Minnesota and the personnel that's in that defense?
Well, I talked to Zim, I remember, back before the playoff game against Seattle back in January, and he was talking about really this defense, it's very talented right now, but if you're looking a year or even 2 years down the line, talking about 2017, that's where this could come into its own, be a really, really good defense, because so many of the playmakers are so young right now. I think one key that you have to remember is going to be health, because how many times last season when you had Linval Joseph dealing with injuries and Anthony Barr? Barr's really had a bunch of different little nicks and things. It seems like he's always has something nagging against him. If you can get some of that in order, I think that you've got as much talent, young talent, still developing, but as much talent as anybody in the league. How soon some of those guys are going to come into their own. Eric Kendricks is one guy that Zimmer was really raving about. The difference from year one to year two in terms of the confidence making the calls, knowing where everybody needs to be on the field, having the mojo you need to play middle linebacker in the NFL, that's starting to come along.
Where are you on the NFC North? How do you characterize that division when you guys do your league-wide previews and they ask you to talk about the North? What are some things you're going to talk about with regard to the teams that are in there, the favorite to win the division, and so on?
I think that top to bottom, it's as good of a division as there is in the NFL, because I think that Green Bay and Minnesota, once again, I think it's a two-team race. I've come around more and more on the ideas of the Vikings as a Super Bowl contender. We had to put in our really early picks. I have them in the NFC Championship game. I won't tell you if I have them winning that game. You got to go out and buy USA Today Sports Weekly. But you know, I think that they're a team that's going to be right there at the end, but I think the Packers are too. I think that with Aaron Rodgers coming back, having, you know, from a season where he didn't play particularly well, but everything that was going on around him, Eddie Lacy being out of shape, Jordy Nelson missing the entire season, guys like Ty Montgomery not being healthy, Devontae Adams not having a good year. There are a lot of different things going on, the play calling situation there. All that stuff, if they can settle it down, Rodgers is still as good of a quarterback as there is in the NFL. So I think that those teams are right there. But you look at the Bears, they've made big strides in terms of their personnel from a year ago. Detroit kind of went old with some things. I mean, bringing in Anquan Boldin, they also signed Marvin Jones. They're remaking the receiving core for Matthew Stafford. They're still not as talented defensively as they were even a couple of years ago when they had Ndamukong Suh, some of those first-round draft picks. But I have a lot of confidence in Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator there. He's a really good coach. He's going to be a head coach in the next year or two here in the NFL. I think that team is at least going to be competitive. I think that the Lions and the Bears, if they were playing in any other division, you'd be talking about them as a playoff team right now. But I look at the Vikings and the Packers, I just think they're a cut above.
Yeah. Should be a fun division to watch unfold in 2016. Last question before we let you go. You've covered the Vikings for a while. You've been to many training camps. Favorite Vikings to cover that you can remember as you think back through the years? Who have been some of the more fun guys to cover or some of the more memorable moments for you as you think back to former Vikings players?
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of players. You know, I was going to say Brett Favre is one interesting one to cover, but he was never here. He never actually made it to Mankato. He waited till the day after.
He was very coy about that.
No, that's true. I mean, there's been a lot of interesting personalities. Not always necessarily a positive thing, but a lot of interesting personalities. I mean, my single favorite training camp moment of all time down here in Mankato was Brock Lesnar in 2004. Awesome. And the scrimmage out there on the field against Kansas City. Now, you have to go back. The backstory on that was a year earlier. They'd been over in River Falls because they were doing joint practices every year. Mike Tice was the coach. And they got into it there. The Chiefs and Vikings did. There was Russian Jones was a corner on the Vikings who hit a Chiefs player. And Dick Vermeil said, if I had a gun, I'd shoot him in the head. Some crazy thing like that. So tensions were high. The coaches met on the morning of this practice in 2004 to lay down what the ground rules were going to be. But then you started to see the tensions flaring. There'd be a little late hit here and there. And Lesnar started getting into it. Well, they're coming to – there's a pileup, basically. Lesnar is on the ground. He tackled the guy, and he's kind of giving him the business just a little bit, just staying down a little extra time. And an offensive player for the offensive lineman for the Chiefs comes up and shoves him off the pile. Well, Lesnar turns around, grabs him, and honest-to-God suplexes the guy into the ground. All hell breaks loose. There's a video you can find on YouTube of it, but the aftermath was Lesnar coming out of the pile. His helmet's off. He's flexing and strutting around in midfield. The crowd is going nuts. You will never see anything like that in a training camp ever again. You'll never see anybody quite like Lesnar ever again.
Only in the WWE or WWF or whatever it is, right?
That's about it. If you got the moves and you're going to use them, just don't do it on your own teammate. He did make a good decision there.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Thanks.